When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. It's Friday, it's team news time, we're looking ahead to game week 2. My name is Joe and as ever I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout editor Neil. Neil, welcome, how are you?
Not too bad, Joe. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good, good. Hopefully deadline won't be as fraught as last week when I was cooking and missed the Gabriel news, and so I'm stuck with him in my team. So I want to know a little bit about Arsenal, definitely, in this lineup. But I did manage to remove Stones, which, as we might find out, might be advantageous for this week as well. Removing him, that is. Let's just get stuck into it. We've had all the press conferences. There's a lot of rumours have been going around, particularly with defenders. So we're going to have a particular eye on them. So let's get stuck into tonight's match. We've got a deadline at 6:15, I think I'm right in saying, tonight. And it's Nottingham Forest taking on Sheffield United. So what is the latest for the home side? What's Steve Cooper been saying?
Well, he has still ruled out Philippe, and we know that Hennessy's out as well, and Omar Richards. Those are the red flags. We did get a flurry of players back this week or last weekend. So Awoniyi and Nia Carty were part of the squad. Awoniyi came on and scored. And then Toffolo was featured in midweek in a behind closed doors friendly. Now, of course, the age old question is how much truth is Cooper telling us, and whether we can just completely disregard what he says, because he mentioned about Awoniyi and Nia Carty getting them closer to starting fitness. Well, like I said, they're not quite there yet, but I would not be surprised to see either of those in the team tonight.
Okay.
Apart from that, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. With Sheffield United, now I'm confused by what the manager was saying about some of their players not being fine, but okay. What's that all about with Sheffield United?
Yeah, I'll tell you the stuff we do know first. That's McBurney's back in training, so he could be in the end. Fleck's definitely out. Mm-hmm. Brewster, Noran Davis as well. Bogle and Koulibaly, I think, are back in training, but still some doubt whether they'll feature. Now, the question, which I think a lot of FPL managers will be hoping for an answer on, concerns George Baldock, who is quite well-owned, actually, as a 4 million defender. Yeah. And you might be calling on him this weekend if you've got a James or a Gabriel or a... or somebody else who's flag, Stones. Heckenbottom was asked about both Max Lowe and George Baldock, who were his two wingbacks. They were struggling towards the end of the game last week against Palace. He answered something like, okay, and then went on to talk about Max Lowe exclusively. So he said that he'd only had cramp
Okay.
And that he'd had a previous ankle injury. He was talking almost exclusively about him. Mm. Didn't seem to address Baldock, glossed over it to an extent. Okay. And then we see yesterday in the training video, no Baldock and no Slimani. So there's obvious concern there, I think, as to whether he's going to be fit enough.
Okay.
Tonight. We might get a heads up. It's a 7:30 kickoff, 7:45 kickoff, sorry, tonight. So you might get a heads up.
Yeah, I don't own Baldock, but if I did, I'd have been full of optimism with the words, he's okay, until I understand that Higginbotham said, everyone else is fine. So I don't know which is the scale of, but it sounds like what you were saying about the training.
He didn't say he's okay about Baldock. He just said okay when he was asked about.
Okay.
So we shall see.
Okay, before we move on to the Saturday game, starting with Fulham Brentford, just want to welcome the over 700 of you that have joined us very early in the chat. This does increase as time goes on. So for 700, just as we're starting out, is absolutely great. Thanks to Barry, Jack, Mahomi, Fourth World, Komodo, S-Bam, Yakov, This Is Wrestling Film. Always good to see This Is Wrestling Film in the chat. And all of the others here. I can't mention all of your names because then we won't have any time for team news. We just mentioned all your names. But welcome all of you for joining us. Do remember to press that like button. I haven't actually got how many likes are on the screen at the moment for me, but I hope it's a lot and I hope it's going to be even more. So do press that like button. And also do remember to subscribe if you're not subscribing already, so you can keep up to date with all our content across video and wherever you get your podcasts from. Let's move on to Saturday, Fulham against Brentford. I'm just going to, while you're chatting about Brentford, because I put two Brentford things up on the screen, so you can tell me about Brentford the away bit, and then I will get rid of this other Brentford bit and replace it with a Fulham one if I can. So what shape are Brentford in?
They're not in bad shape, actually. Yeah, Matthias Jensen's been past fit, and Thomas Frank says he'll start. Onyeka's past fit as well. I suspect he'll be on the bench. We know Tony's suspended, so the only flag I think is on Ben Mee, who missed out last weekend with a calf problem. The Brentford side say he'll be assessed, late checks tomorrow before the game, see if he can feature. Frank wasn't asked about him actually in his presser, not in the broadcast section, but last week he said he was confident that he would hopefully be involved.
Okay, and as for Fulham, now I wanted to get this tweet up on the screen because there is some big news with the Fulham lineup, which may be of interest if you're going to field a Brentford defender or indeed want to field a Fulham attacker.
Yeah, Palinha's back, a very influential defensive midfielder from Fulham's point of view. Was like league leading in a lot of the stats last year, like tackles and things like that. So he is in the squad at the least, Marco Silva said. It wasn't...
Okay.
Convincing wasn't sorry confirmed that he'd start. He's been out for some time since pre-season with a shoulder injury, but he's back in the squad. Mm-hmm. He doesn't start this week, it'll be next week. Mitrovic is out though. There are rumours suggesting he's off to Saudi Arabia. More rumours. We haven't quite been put to bed yet. Now Silva's officially declared him unavailable because of an ankle injury. So whether that's a convenient one to avoid him getting injured before his big move, we shall see in due course. But he's not going to feature against Brentford.
Okay. So yeah, that will be interesting. I mean, I've got Henry on my bench. I'm tempted to play him, but I just wonder. Apparently, historically, this is a very high scoring clash. Yeah. I think it's been 3-2 the last three encounters. I think Brentford
in the summer as well in the preseason.
Yeah. So perhaps I won't get a clean sheet there. So maybe I'll take my risk with Arsenal, which we'll come to much later in the show. Okay, Liverpool against Bournemouth. Now Klopp was specifically asked, wasn't he, about Mohamed Salah's early substitution in the last game. He was prepared for that question. And what did he have to say?
He said it was basically a non-story. He said it was already over after the game. And since then, nothing's happened. He's had a super training week, in his words. So I don't think there's anything lingering there to worry about. You've seen tantrums before, of course, in Liverpool bench. Mane famously having a wobbly.
Yeah.
So Salah wouldn't pass to him. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, it's very, very quiet, really. They've got a new signing, Endo from Germany, who's... Klopp says he's not sure whether he's going to be ready for Bournemouth. Thiago and Bajcetic as well are back in training, but not quite ready yet. Apart from that, I don't think there's any kind of injury worries for Liverpool that I've seen.
as a non-Salah owner, I take comfort in this quote saying, Salah had a super training week. I hope he can take that into the game. Hope. I mean, if I was sure of his super training week, I would have said he will be taking that into the game. So hope.
I think now there's a Salah owner, non-owner, definitely trying to commit himself that he's not going to hold.
The reality is that he's going to play. He's going to be absolutely incredible, and he's going to get a hat trick. Well done in advance, Salah owners. Bournemouth, what shape are they in for this?
They've got quite a lot of people out, actually. Lloyd Kelly could be back. He's been in training, and Senesi and Ahrens are both fine after cramp. But they've still got seven people out. That's Smith, Fredericks, Tavernier, Marcondes, Scott, Ouattara and Cook. They're all going to miss the trip to Anfield.
Okay, rightio. A few people, just wanted to reiterate, a couple of people in the live chat asking about Jota. I think it was because there was a training picture and he had some strapping on his leg, but
he took a knock last week against Chelsea. I think that was in the first half, and then he lasted till about the hour mark and then came off for Darwin.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure it would have stung a bit, but there was nothing from Klopp.
Yeah.
And he has trained. It's not to say he will start because they've got an absolute myriad of options up there.
Okay.
With Gakpo, of course, and Darwin and Diaz and Salah. So, but he's not flagged anywhere by FPL.
Rightio. Okay. Moving on to Wolves against Brighton. Go with the home side first, because it's going to be quite short, isn't it?
It is. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
No fresh news and nothing existing.
Okay, fair enough. With Brighton, though, there could be some interesting news. What has De Zerbi been saying?
Well, a clean bill of health, which is at odds with what social media was telling me last night about Estupinan. De Zerbi said today, and let me see what he said. He said that everyone is good about his squad. So,
and that FPL room about Estupinan is absolute,
well, that's it.
Whatever.
Yeah, I hope so, unless he's neglected to tell us. But
he wouldn't know about it because it's made up in someone's head.
There didn't seem to be a source for it last night. It did seem to stem from someone on social media. Not only a stupid man, I'm guessing that also applies to Webster and Lallana as well, who were absent last weekend. Mm-hmm. Brighton websites here, they're both available now. So the only line of note really was that Lamptey's playing for the under-21 tonight, but if we take De Zerbi's word for it, everyone is fit.
De Zerbi also said that he hinted that he was going to change things. He's thinking of a change. What do you think that might be?
I didn't actually see that. I mean, I haven't watched it all the way through yet. I've just seen the team news headlines. It was in the last hour.
Mm.
Webster couldn't come back for Van Haps. Medium term, you'd expect that to happen, but whether we'd risk him again for this one. He's got so many options. Gilmore coming in the midfield.
I just wondered if it was some kind of formation change. He might play Pedro in a more advanced role. Here's me hoping. Or not at all.
He said this before last season, where he said he's going to change one or two things and then named an unchanged 11. There was carnage towards the end of last season when they were playing twice a week, but they're only playing once a week at the moment. Okay. No Europe. Okay. So I think even if there is a change, it will be mostly unchanged with the small tweak here.
Now, I'm one of Emma at Jump the Waves army of team predictors for Brighton. And I have pretty much think it's going to be very similar to last week. But I have made a couple of changes. I do think that Webster could come back in for Van Heek. I think that's likely. And I actually think Ferguson might start this one because he does have a lot of attacking options. And I can't think of any reason why Welbeck would be absolutely preferred against Wolves over Ferguson. And Welbeck played last week. I just wondered if he might, be giving them equal game time, keeping their fitness up a bit more. I don't know. It's 50-50, I would say, with Welbeck and Ferguson, if you're a Ferguson or Welbeck owner. Let's move on to Tottenham against Manchester United. A lot of people weren't keen on Manchester United against Wolves. Wolves were the better side. Tottenham though are catching the eye. So let's start with them first, particularly their sort of new, a creative attacking Spurs, which we haven't seen bar Kane and Son for about 5 years.
Yes, they're in good attacking form anyway. Probably a few more concerns about the defence, but they have got someone back this weekend in that back line. That's Romero, who came off very early against Brentford with a, I think it was a concussion. But Postecoglou says they've checked him over. He's good to go. Gone through all the protocols, so he's fine. There's otherwise no team news change, so nobody new and nobody coming back. So the five that are still out are Sessegnon, Brian Keel, Rodrigo Bentancur, Fraser Forster, and another backup goalkeeper in Alfie Whiteman.
Okay, and Manchester United as well. Martinez was a slight doubt going into this, but you know, is he going to be fit?
Yeah, sounds like it. He's trained, I think, as of Thursday. This was a press conference weirdly held yesterday, but embargoed for a full 24 hours till today. So Ten Hag was talking about Martinez training on Thursday, as in today when he was talking, but obviously that was yesterday.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't think it was anything fresh. Hoyland's obviously still out, and then they've got like so Heaton, Maynou, Diallo, and Malacia all sidelined as well.
Okay, let's move on to Manchester City against Newcastle. This is quite a late kickoff on Saturday, but I know Pep in midweek was talking, was being sarcastic and saying, yeah, well done for letting us play on Saturday rather than Monday or Sunday. Considering they were playing an important game in midweek, the Super Cup. Obviously, well, I'm sure he's being sarcastic, unless he really wanted this time. But they have been training on the continent ahead of coming back for this. So they haven't missed out in that regard. But yeah, what has Pep been saying? Could be some issues with defence, I understand.
Certainly could, yeah. So John Stones is definitely out. He's picked up a muscle injury, another one, and he has been confirmed out. Now, De Bruyne is out for 4 or 5 months. Were you that already? He's got a hamstring problem. Bernardo is not going to be involved either. He's got an illness, and he missed the Super Cup on Wednesday night, and he's not going to be back for this one. He will be back next week. Diaz was only a maybe. Now, he was on the bench, actually, in that severe game. I think it was concussion again that caused him to miss out in game week one. Now, I don't know why he's only a maybe if he's fit enough for bench duty in the Super Cup. But Pep was saying that that's all he is, and maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
Apart from that, Alvarez could only last, I think, 10, 15 minutes in midweek. He was a substitute against Sevilla and came on late in the game.
Ooh,
and
okay.
Pep said that was as much as he could do because of muscular discomfort. He's obviously had a few days since then to recover. But yeah, some obvious question marks.
Okay, so I think when we do the roundup at the end, I don't think I'll put Alvarez as a question mark there. It's questionable, but
Not flagged. Yeah,
no, he's not flagged. It does sound like he could. There's a question mark.
Yeah,
but not questionable.
It's more a question mark about whether you'd start or not, or whether you would fit you as a substitute. I think he's going to be in the squad, but obviously if he's fit enough to play some part in that game, so FPL wouldn't flag him off the back of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. And also know. Interestingly, Pep said that it was important to get Alvarez on the pitch towards the end of the game because he's an exceptional penalty taker, which I immediately thought, oh, hang on. Because at the moment, with Mahrez and Gundogan out the picture, it's just Haaland. But, I mean, obviously it'll be Haaland on penalties. But that does raise the prospect that if Haaland's not on the pitch and Alvarez is, he could be on penalties.
Yeah, exactly. And De Bruyne is another one who's injured at the moment who has taken them in the past. Not very often.
But... Yeah.
So, yeah, as a deputy, there's probably not many left beyond Alvarez.
Okay. Meanwhile, your side, Newcastle, how are they?
They're all right, yeah. We're about to add Lewis Hall to our ranks. I think it's a loan with an obligation to buy, so he's through the door now. Injury-wise, I don't think there's anything new. Howe said they wasn't expecting anybody back. And I don't think there's any fresh issues reported either. So I think it's just Manquillo, Willock and Emil Kraft who are out.
Okay, righty-o. Let's move on to Aston Villa against Everton. Now, I haven't got the Aston Villa latest because that if it came in much later than I got to see it. So it hasn't gone on Twitter by the time I was putting this together. Let's go with that Aston Villa then. Well, I mean, any news there? I mean, we know that Buendia's out for some time and Tyron Mings is going to be out for some time. But yeah, what else has been happening?
It's just happened in the last 5 minutes.
So this
was they delayed the press conference. It's already delayed by an hour, like the reportage of it. But the start time must have changed as well. So just in the last 6 minutes, I think, on Villa's website. Mings, of course, is the headline from this. He got stretchered off last weekend. It's a significant knee injury. He's going to be out for months. Same with Buendia. So they're both long-term absences. Ramsey's still some weeks away. Moreno's nearly there, but not quite back, not for this one. And then beyond that, they've got flag players. I think John Duran and Traore have been back in training this week. They're going to be bench options anyway.
Okay.
And best.
What?
I think they've got Dendonka out as well.
I mean, partially related to team news, but what's the latest with Archer? I mean, he's sitting on my bench, a number of benches as well. And we might need him to get a few minutes and maybe score in the last 10 minutes. But a lot of speculation that he might be off. Sheffield United are interested in him, for example. Any latest with Archer?
No, that I've seen. I mean, Heckenbottom was talking about him yesterday. He was asked and was kind of reluctant to talk about someone else's player, but admitted that he has, you know, seen plenty of him in the Championship when he was down there with Sheffield United. I think there's a few clubs who are wanting him. Leeds, I think, were linked as well. And Sheffield United, as you say, possibly Middlesbrough. So he's bobbing between lower Premier League and upper Championship in terms of destinations.
Okay.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled the next fortnight because I've got him on my bench. He was quite forward precisely for this reason. I thought he might get a move to Sheffield United.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's got game time.
Yeah, would be of interest then, definitely, especially if any surprise injuries occur in future weeks and we might need him to come on. Everton, meanwhile, it's always about Calvert-Lewin, isn't it? I mean, is he gonna play this?
He might, yeah. He comes straight back into the thinking. According to Dyche, he had already played two pre-season friendlies. He got 45 minutes in both of those. This week, he got 90 minutes in a training ground game. So, as Dyche says, he comes straight back into the thinking. He's finished his rehab in good shape, he said. So, he could be involved. McNeil's still out, along with Dele Alli and Seamus Coleman. And then Dyche rounded up a few players who are... I think we're in the squad last weekend, but still not 100% match fit. Dan Juma being one, Mikalenko, I think Andre Gomez as well. So they've got a few players who are technically fit, but not fit in Dyche's words.
Okay, so yeah, with Calvert-Lewin in there, that does give them a focus, and that does mean they could. There's always that potential to score if you've got any Villa defenders there. Everyone else will find Watkins probably the most owned in this clash. All fine there.
Yeah.
Let's move on to West Ham take on Chelsea. Let's go with the away side first because big news with Reece James broke this week. What's that about?
Yes, he is hamstrung. There were rumours yesterday circulating that he was out for months. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem that bad now we've heard from Pochettino, but still going to be weeks at the least. He's starting rehabilitation on that already. Pochettino said they're going to assess him day by day, but it's not going to be... Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be this side of the international break anyway.
Okay.
But Poch did say that it's not a big issue, so there's some glimmer of hope there.
Okay.
He's still out, and he joins Abroja, Fofana, Bettinelli, Nkunku, Chalobah, and Badiashile as well. They're all out still. Caicedo and Lavia both signed this week. Poch said he wasn't sure whether either of them would feature. Caicedo, I think, has got a much better chance because Lavia's just signed today, I think, wasn't it? It was just this morning.
Yeah, it was today.
Caicedo's been in, you know, early on. Yeah. Caicedo's been in a bit longer and had some part in pre-season. He played a couple of games for Brighton, not a whole lot, but I don't think it'd be too far away from full match fitness. Other line of notes, if you're thinking about Sanchez, because Kepa's now gone, Pochettino was asked about whether they would sign a new goalkeeper. I think they will, definitely. But he was asked about whether it would be a backup or as a challenger to Sanchez. And he didn't really commit. He said, that's a good question because we're thinking about that. We're thinking of all the situations and possibilities. So the club is open to all the possibilities. So not an absolute cast iron guarantee that Sanchez is going to be the undisputed number one beyond the end of August.
I guess that's a case of if, for example, an exceptional goalkeeper was available on loan or cheap, then they might come in and, you know, say they were a very exceptional goalkeeper. They may replace Sanchez, so we don't know. We won't know until the end of this month. But he does look like number one. I think logically they're going to get a strong backup for him, and so Sanchez should be fine.
Yeah, they were linked to somebody in the MLS, like a Serbian goalkeeper. So that did strike me as a backup.
Yeah,
a la Matt Turner at Arsenal previously. Yeah. So
And obviously Gusto, the young lad, Gusto is probably going to replace Reece James. You would imagine.
Yeah, Zofar seemed very very sure about that in his piece this morning for the site, and he's a Chelsea fan. Okay. He did feature a lot in pre-season. Whenever James wasn't there, he was playing as a right back.
Okay.
There's thought that the new centre half Disasi, I can't remember his name, is that how you pronounce it? He could feature there. He's played five times in his life, so it's maybe a bit of a stretch, but Pochettino was using a kind of lopsided back four in pre-season with one right back hanging back and then the other full back going forward. So he could use a centre half there.
Right, yeah.
But you would think Gusto
gets the number. Okay, and on to the final match, because there's no Luton against Burnley, so just 9 matches, not 10 this week. And this is really, this is the headline news, really. It's all about Nathan Ferguson. He's back at Crystal Palace. He's still injured, I presume. What's the latest with Nathan Ferguson at Crystal Palace?
He's still injured, you were right to presume. I think he's training with the academy. He's not even listed by FPL.
No, they've given up. They've given up.
They're not even bothered. So he's not in the picture. I think nothing's really changed. Alicia's still out, even though he's signed a new contract with Palace, but he's still sidelined for some time.
Yeah.
Still same with Will Hughes, same with Franca. And Mark Gay is all right. Mm-hmm. He came off last weekend due to cramp, but Hodgson's passed him fit on Thursday. Okay.
Big news with the visitors, Arsenal, though. Lots to consider here, because it depends who's fit, whether certain people will play. Just before you say anything, there was a very good podcast I listened to. I think it was the Man On podcast. I think it was Craig that did it. It's only about 20 minutes long. It's on my Twitter feed. It's only about 5 or 6 posts away. But it completely explains the situation around the defence and how Arteta uses inverted wing-backs, or full-backs rather. It's very good. Still doesn't 100% guarantee Gabriel will play. What is the latest injury wise, and who do you think is going to start for Arsenal?
Yeah, Timber's out, which is given a ray of hope for Gabriel owners. He's going to be out for I think a long time. It's an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. He's had surgery and is going to face a lengthy period out. Gabriel Jesus is still out. Elneny's still out. Mm-hmm. Zinchenko, I think it's just match fitness now. Arteta said yesterday he's doing very well, he's been training, and we're going to have him very, very soon available. So I think that's it on the injury front. Yes, with regards to Gabriel, firstly, Arteta was asked about whether Tierney would come in by a reporter for Timber, you know, as like for like at left back, not really like for like, but you know what I mean, in that position. And Arteta said it's an opportunity for everybody, we're going to need everybody. Everyone has to be ready, so he didn't really give any clues. There's a number of ways Arsenal can set up. So a party was kind of inverting last week.
Yeah, on the right.
From right back, as he did towards the end of last season, actually. With White and Saliba in the middle and then Timber coming across from left back. Now, he brought Tomiyasu on for Timber when he got injured. And it just kept the same rules. Tomiyasu on the left of that back four, but tucking in, and party still inverting. So I don't think it's a given that Gabriel comes back in. No. If I owned him, I would... And you didn't have, you already had Chilwell, for example. Mm-hmm. I would keep him for this week.
Yeah.
And then I think by next week, I think you're going to know whether it's just too much of a risk.
Yeah. There is, now Zinchenko could be back. And the reason he says, because Arteta said very soon, but Arsenal did have a behind closed doors game with Luton this week.
Yes, they did.
Because Luton aren't playing this weekend, so it's advantageous for them to keep fitness up. And Arsenal aren't playing until Monday, so it's good for them as well. And I understand Zinchenko did play for that in that, as well as Raya.
Yeah, I think he got 45 minutes, if I'm right in remembering that. So that's obviously not quite full length game for Zinchenko. I think even Saka, you know, they all joke about Arteta never resting Saka in any game. Didn't even rest him in meaningless midweek friendly. Saka scored against Luton.
Fair enough.
I guess he was just on as a cameo for that. But yeah, the likes of Nelson was playing, you know, sort of peripheral players as well. David Raya, as you said there.
Yeah.
And Zinchenko got his half a football under his belt. Mm. I think he played 11 minutes in a charity kick about before game week one as well. So he's getting there very, very soon.
Okay. I'm a Gabriel owner. Many people are. I'm going to keep him, and I'm probably going to play him over Henry, because I think there's going to be goals in that Fulham Brentford game, and that might come back to me. And it's a tricky situation, because if Gabriel does miss out because Partey continues to be on the right hand side, inverting, then that does mean that you're going to look at 1 point, because he will come on. I think there is still, I think it's 50-50. I think there is a hope. Crystal Palace are a different side. It's a away game. He might just want his best defenders, his best centre-backs there. And he might not go with that same inverted role on the right. But we don't know. But yeah, long term, he's got to go. Because if there's doubt that he is starting after 73 starts, if there's suddenly doubt, then that's he's fulfilled his purpose over the 73 matches and he's no longer needed in my FPL side, and I imagine other people's. But just for those asking about him, I think it's genuinely 50-50. You've got to roll with the punches and keep him and then move on long term. That's what I'll say. Let's have a look at the team news roundup. Okay, now I haven't got any major doubts in this, but you probably correct me, but there's I'll go with the fit to plays first. So Raya, I mean, we haven't seen him for a while, but you know, we had this play behind closed doors game against Luton for Arsenal, so he is fit to play. Technically he could play instead of Ramsdale. Gay he's fine for Palace. McBurn, he's fine for Sheffield United. Senesi's fine. Martinez is fine for Manchester United. Romero's overcome that knock on his head last week, and Jensen is fine to play, and he's going to start. It was confirmed by Frank as well. Nathan Ferguson, I've just put usual there, questionable. He could play, you never know, but I doubt it. Zinchenko, it's fitness really for him now. He could play, and he could even start. Bulldog, I put okay, but he didn't say fine. That's me being picky. Webster is back, but questionable because obviously in fitness. Same with Lallana at Brighton. They should be fine, but there might be some fitness concerns. Bernardo Silva is a doubt, is questionable. Diaz is also a doubt and questionable. Palinha, Fulham, shoulder puts him as a doubt to start. Major doubts, I haven't got any here. But outs, definitely. Elise, Timber, Jesus, James, Hoyland, Stones. That's Hoyland, not Haaland, for anyone. For the graphics on the screen, the predictive text voice thing says Haaland. It's Hoyland. Stones is out. Mitrovic is out with an ankle problem. I think I've got everyone there, haven't I? All the biggies.
I'll be honest, Joe, I wasn't as...
There we go, that's fine. It's not a problem. That's fine. There's nearly 2,000 people in the watching on the live stream, so hopefully they're listening to me.
It's all on the website. It's all in the...
You write it all week. You know, it's your bread and butter, isn't it?
Exactly.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining me, Neil. Thanks for everyone who's joined us in the live chat, especially for that vital Nathan Ferguson news. Good luck with your game weeks. Good luck, Neil. Remember to press that like button. Remember to subscribe. Remember to keep looking at all of the latest team news, Fantasy Football Scout on X as well as on the site before the deadline, which is coming up really soon. So I better make or rather not make any changes to my team. I'm just going to keep it as it is. Okay, see you soon. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.